Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me in that other box, it's Taylor Allen and the disembodied voice of Andy Asimakis. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Great. It's a shame that Andy died and we're talking to his ghost now.
It's true.
I have a question for you both.
Okay.
Now, you're both married in relationships. Yes. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If someone cooks dinner, then the other person customarily does the dishes. That's like an unwritten rule in a household, right? Kind of makes sense?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So we've established that.
I'm happy with that, yeah.
Right. It makes sense. Like, I'll do all the work for dinner, you do the plates, and then it's like, we're all squared away, even Steven. Now, who does the dishes when someone reheats leftovers?
Oh, the person who ate the leftovers.
Yeah, I would say that.
The person who ate the leftovers.
Well, it's like leftovers is dinner. So, right. Like, if we had a pot of, like, you know, meatloaf potatoes, I just toss it in the microwave, you know, do the whole
clean
thing.
Clean up your shit.
Take it out, put it in the fucking plates, and then, you know, pass it around. Who does dishes?
You clean up your own dish.
Do your own dish, is what you're saying. All right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Right.
Do your own dish.
Good stuff.
Does that satisfy you? Did you win or lose an argument tonight?
No. I just a random thought I had.
That's fair.
Because right now I'm like, we had leftovers and there's still dishes in the sink and no one's making a move for them yet.
No one's made a move.
It's like the weirdest game of chicken. Like, all right, it's going to happen at some point.
I got you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't tell, this is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. This is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people you've never heard of, probably. And we have huge news in video game podcasts in New Zealand. We are number 15 in New Zealand in video gaming podcasts.
Number nine, Steve.
No, we were number nine in something else. We were like, oh wait, was it number nine in video games, number 15 in leisure or something like that? Yep. Whatever it was. We're crawling the ranks in New Zealand. Hello, New Zealand. How are you?
We're listening.
I read that wrong.
Oh, 15th. Okay. Yeah.
Hello, New Zealanders.
Hi, New Zealand. How's everybody doing out there in New Zealand? Thank you for listening to us. Hopefully that's an accomplishment and there isn't only like 100 of you that actually listen to podcasts and we're getting like 4 of you. That'd be great.
At risk of alienating the 4 people in New Zealand.
Yes.
I did, when you shared this news, ask, how do we appeal to New Zealanders more?
Yes.
And then I said, we remove our Apex segment for a segment about the Rugby 20 game developed by EKO Software, which is apparently very big over there.
Oh yeah, huge. So. I could also attempt a haka, but I think that might be sacrilegious over there or something like that. So I'm probably not going to do that. The show posts each and every Tuesday night. It records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams on Tuesday nights as well. So head over there, give us a follow, and watch the show live as it's being recorded. And the video on demand will go up on Wednesday night. If, God willing, gentlemen, oh my God, Adobe Premiere is the biggest pain in my balls all of a sudden. It is taking 4 times as long as the video is to export any video right now. It is usually 4 times faster than the video. It's usually like for a 1-hour video, it takes like maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes. It is now taking me 4 hours to do a 1-hour podcast to export it and all that stuff. I don't know what happened, but please, Adobe, get your shit together. I had one of them reach out to me on Twitter and said, here's a page from fucking the Adobe website on how you might fix it. I didn't change anything. There's no reason why I should have to change my decoder or my rendering, yada, yada. There's no reason for this because it was working fine last week. It's only now, all of a sudden, when you updated the damn thing, now it's broken and it's not working. And I'm not the only one to have this problem. Apparently, a lot of the internet's having this problem. Anyway. What else we got? Andy, we did the Dual Screens podcast. That is posting on Friday for everybody. So please, it's on the same channel. You don't have to go anywhere. Just subscribe to this audio channel. You'll get the 2 shows each and every week. And if you want to support us on Patreon and get a lot of bonus content, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the apprentice Nestler, and our producer, FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so please, please head over there and consider backing us for as little as $1. And we will, God willing, be recording the bonus episode for November after this. And I say that because Taylor might get a signal from the old wifey that she's going to be pushing out a baby. So if he disappears and just shuts his computer off, we may pause the show for a second while I rearrange the camera that will be left, which Andy's not on right now, but in the boxes so that everything kind of, you know, is a smoother transition. But
yeah. I apologize if I have to abruptly leave, but I don't think my wife would accept I'm recording a podcast as a viable excuse to not take.
I mean, she's waited this long, you know. Just
I get it.
Does she know that we rock in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
Give her that information. It may change her mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Send her a text. Make sure she understands.
We can't let them down.
Number 15 in video game category. It's incredible. It's incredible. All right, guys. Speaking of video games, let's talk about what we've been playing this week in our favorite future T-shirt, The Adventures in Gaming. 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 Andy, I'm going to start with you. What have you been playing?
Oh, I've been like full on the Pathless obsessed.
The Pathless. Since,
like, oh my God, all these days.
This is good.
Whew. So that's the makers of, what was that? Abzu? Asbu?
Uh huh.
Abzu.
That game.
Journey.
Yes. Those guys. And it's really fucking good. I'm getting a lot of Shadow of the Colossus comparisons with this game, but with like a metric ton of puzzles. So the idea is you're in this world and that's been like corrupted by this malevolent force, this guy called the God Slayer, and you have to essentially uncorrupt these gods, these huge beasts in the land, and they're the only real enemies of the entire game. Now, to get to them, you have to collect these items to put in their shrines, to shoot laser beams at this glowing red dome to like weaken the god, then you can fight it. Mm. And you can go to the next one. It's really nice. It's really pretty. It's just a massive, it's like there's no map, there's no real guidance. Just you walk around and just you kind of
figure it out
for yourself. Yeah, I'm loving it so far. I'm like, I think halfway through. It seems.
I've seen a few people playing that. It does look really cool. Not sure if it's for me. Like I don't really like the focus on the puzzle elements. Like it just doesn't do it for me. Like I feel like, I don't know. I prefer a little bit more action, and like platforming and like that type of exploration rather than the puzzles. How do you feel about the puzzles? Are they clever enough? Do they hold your attention? Do they stump you?
They do. Mm-hmm. Though there was one. So like the map has like a little like. Is like an eagle vision thing, like Assassin's Creed. It tells you where you have to go, like the red spots or like where you can find these token items or like upgrades for your little eagle falcon friend companion. And I got to one shrine. I'm like, okay, it's glowing red. And I see like some lanterns and some other things I can interact with. But I was like, what the fuck do I do here? I was stumped. I was like, fine, well, I'm just gonna move on. That was actually the boss arena for later. I was like, oh, I wish I knew that because I was there for like an hour trying to figure it out. Mm. But they're all very clever. They're simple. It's a lot of like, there's a bunch of lanterns, light them up with like ricochet shots, or like you have to have like four or five platforms to press. You get some weights and the bird brings them to you. You weigh them down. It's like, it's not overly complex. But, you know, have a brain to play, basically.
Yeah, like, the thing the reason why I have the aversion to it is that a lot of the times those become just, like, really dumb and just time-consuming. Like, oh, pick up the sandbag, put it on the switch, and then go to the other one. But some of the ones that I saw were actually pretty clever. They're, like, using light and, like, moving it around and, like, all that stuff. Like, stuff we've seen before in, like, Zelda and whatnot.
Right. It's like that. That looks like 11. It's like basically you take Zelda dungeon puzzles and put them across this massive open world.
Right.
That's what it feels like.
Cool. Yeah.
So I have random games that I just like don't like for dumb reasons that actually don't affect the game at all. The Pathless is one of them, and I think it's actually a game I would enjoy. But the game bugs me because it seems like when you shoot the arrow, it flies all flimsy, and I don't like that.
So, right, because there's no... Because you can't shoot unless you're locked on something.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be, like, positioned in a certain way. Let's say you want to aim down. You have to like, jump up and then lock on a target, and you shoot down towards it.
Mm.
Or, like, if you want to shoot upward, you have to basically look up at it and then shoot upward. So that's a little weird.
I think Taylor actually physically means the arrow itself looks like it's flimsy.
It goes like
yeah, yeah. It doesn't like fly in a straight line.
It doesn't.
It's like a noodle.
It's like a little sperm in the sky. It's like
exactly.
So I played some of that, and then I played for all of 5 minutes the remake of 13.
Ooh.
Oh my god, you guys, fucking. So nostalgia is a mischievous visitor, I feel, because I was like, wow, I love this game when I was growing up. It had David Duchovny, fucking cell shading. What's not tough about this game? Holy fuck, they butchered this thing.
Yeah.
It's almost unplayable. And I was like, was it this bad? Or am I misremembering things? I don't know. I was like, why did I pay for this? I knew it was bad, but I had to see for myself how bad it was.
That sucks.
And it was like, oof. It's like a burn it review, but I can't even waste my time on reviewing that game. It's just so poorly done. I mean,
if it's bad, write your review and get it out there. Right. We'll make that video, baby.
They even patched it, and it was like, it's even worse with the patch.
Oh my god, that doesn't. And I'm just like, I guess that's happened before. There is a precedent for that.
Did some of that, and I played surprisingly some more retro shit this week. Blood Rain came out 1 and 2 on GOG, I think. They re-released them, and I'm like, these are fun PS2 games. So I played those. Those didn't age as well as I thought they would.
Yeah. PS2, like, it's hit or miss. You could get some good ones that really translate nicely, but then you get oofs. You get some oofs in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing more Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed. I talked about those quite a bit last week. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty is still scratching that leveling up and filling up the XP bar itch that I have. It's really fun. I personally think that the game is better than Modern Warfare as a whole. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I think the map design is much better than the previous game. I feel like the guns handle really well, and I'm not even playing on a DualSense. It sounds like the DualSense additions there are really, really cool. But personally, I like this game a lot more than the previous installment. Assassin's Creed is really starting to wear on me. It is becoming... The mantling issues that I talked about last week are just... They are... becoming more and more frequent. The combat just has no depth to it whatsoever, and the gameplay loop is getting really old really quickly. And that frustrates me because I absolutely loved Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Origins, and so I think this is a significant step down from both of those games.
You know, it seems to me that like they really relied heavily on the fact that Odyssey was so successful, and then they relied so heavily on Vikings being cool, and then but did nothing to really make it stand out in its own
100%.
Yeah,
there I have no emotional attachment to the protagonist whatsoever. They are very much just like generic copy and paste Viking person. There are no characters in the game that I care about, and that I can typically forgive if the combat is interesting or the gameplay loop is satisfying, but it's just not. So I'm becoming kind of frustrated with that game. I'm going to keep playing it. I love the franchise as a whole, and so I'd like to see if this goes somewhere eventually, but I'm about 25 hours in. I played another about 10 hours this last week, and it just feels like I'm dragging. I'm having such a hard time continuing to play that game. But the big new one that I've been playing this week is Yakuza Like a Dragon. And Ooh. Oh my God, you guys, this game is incredible. it I honestly, when they first announced this game and that it was going to be turn-based, I was terrified. Because the best part for me of the Yakuza games, on top of like kind of the silliness and stuff, is the like super satisfying like brawler combat that they have.
Yeah.
And being able to like use random signposts and baseball bats and stuff that you find in the environment to like
bicycles. Beat up your enemy.
Bicycles. Yeah. And just doing like cool combos and stuff like that. And so I was terrified that going to turn-based, it would get rid of that. And they handle that transition perfectly. The characters are all kind of just like circling around each other and moving during combat as you're like, you know, waiting to pick what ability you use or whatever. So they're constantly moving, and you have attacks that do like area damage, and it's not just like it'll hit the three guys next to him. They still have to be like physically grouped together to be able to do the group attack. And if there's like a bicycle between you and an enemy, you run through, you grab the bicycle on your way to attack the enemy, and you hit them with it instead of just doing your regular attack, and you do bonus damage and stuff. And if, even though it's turn-based, there's still like a little bit of like timing, and it incentivizes you to move quickly. Because if you do a regular attack on someone while they're on the ground, you do bonus damage that way. And you can like, you know, time a block as someone's hitting you, and you get, you know, decreased damage from their attack and stuff like that. So combat is still very active, even though it's turn-based. And it has all of the same like goofy quirks from the Yakuza series. You get, you know, adult Yakuza men wearing diapers being taken care of by like a hitter, and you get the weird streaker guy that like he powers up his move for two turns and then he'll flash you, and it like gives all of your party a debuff, and you like just all of those dumb silly like side quests and stuff that you're used to from the Yakuza series are here in full force. And the gameplay loop is super, super satisfying. If you guys like anything like, I think their heaviest inspiration for this was Dragon Quest. So if you like the Dragon Quest games, I think you would absolutely love this, and you owe yourself the favor of picking this game up, because it is incredible. And I can say without a doubt, it's going to be in my top five games of the year this year. It's just absolutely awesome in every single aspect.
It's awesome. Let's see. So I have a Godfall update.
Please do share.
It is not good. So I feel like what happened here is that they had a really cool concept and then had no time to make the game. Like, I feel like the game started development not that long ago, and they focused on a couple of things that are going to wow new PS5 owners. You know, they're going to wow you know, somebody with graphics, with the frame rate, with all of the particle effects that are on the screen, the environments, the enemy design, the armor designs and all that stuff. The problem is the game just has stuff for stuff's sake, and none of it seems to have any cohesion or matter it at all. The Valor Plates, which are the big driving force of you wanting to collect and farm materials and experience points, are basically useless, because there's 12 of them, and I think three of them have very similar abilities. Like one, you could summon three sentinels. They're like automated armor sets that'll fight for you. And the other one will do like wolf creatures or whatever, like three wolf creatures, but they essentially do the same thing. And like one will be like, it will do stun damage. The other one will do ice damage. The other one will do fire damage. So there's like minor elemental stuff. But I haven't really gotten to a point where I needed one Valor Plate because of the fire buff, because you get weapons that will do fire damage. So there's really no point to doubling up on it. The loot is cool. The loot is the best part of the game. But the story is forgettable as you're playing it. You're just like, what? Okay, whatever. You're just kind of going through the motions. The game encourages you to explore a lot, which I like, but you're just finding groups of respawning bad guys and a couple of treasure chests that you have to figure out how to open. Other than that, is really nothing going on side quest wise.
So Steve, really quickly, yeah. I played a little bit of Godfall because my brother has a PS5.
Okay.
I played maybe like 30, 45 minutes of it. So I can't speak on like the story or anything like that.
Sure.
But coming from like a Souls background and really enjoying those games, this game controls like doo-doo.
It has a terrible like, lock system. Terrible lock
the
system.
The lock-on system is bad. The camera sucks. You have no idea. Like the enemies don't telegraph their attacks very well. So you're constantly just kind of like backing up and dodging out of the way until you can see everyone. And there's no animation canceling in the game.
No,
so once you attack, you're committed to it, which like games like Monster Hunter have that as well. And that's fine. But on top of that, there's no animation queuing. So once you attack, if you know you're going to have to dodge right after, you can't press the dodge button while the attack is going. You have to wait for that attack animation to finish before you dodge, or else you just stand there and do nothing.
Yeah.
And that was the most frustrating part is in games like Monster Hunter or Dark Souls or whatever, you can either animation cancel or you can queue up actions to do after you finish your animation. And that's just not here. And so it makes combat feel super, super clunky. And I just did not enjoy that at all.
The thing that I think it does to balance that is it's not particularly difficult. It's very generous with its experience points. So I am two or three or four levels higher than pretty much anything in any general area, unless I go really deep into exploring. That part's there. I like the way the weapons feel. Some of them feel really cool to use. Some of them are like kind of, the dual blades, which is what I usually use in these games is horrible because of the lack of lock on. And the animations are so slow to like get the whips around and all that stuff. I think they just need like a simple, if you press R3 to lock on something, it should find the nearest bad guy and lock onto it.
Because just like snap to it every other game out there.
Because you have to physically put your little reticle, that little white dot on the character, click it, and then it slowly puts this little lock on animation. Like it doesn't snap to, it doesn't move the camera. It just goes, you're looking at this guy, and then you kind of slowly like start facing him. And then if you just quick turn, if you press, I think it's down on the D-pad and do a quick turn, you're not locked onto him anymore. So it's like, okay. The thing that I think they do really well though, is the skill tree. I'm having a lot of fun unlocking the skill tree because some of the skills are really cool. The shield stuff is awesome. You're basically Captain America. You throw it in the circle, you catch it, you could do a shield bash, you could rush them and knock them with the shield up into, knock them off their feet. All the finishing moves are with the shield and stuff, which I wish they had more weapon specific finishers. But it's just, it feels like it really does feel like a launch game. That's what this feels like. This feels like a technical showcase with very shallow gameplay, very shallow story that is just saying, look at the shiny new thing.
And to kind of get back to what you were saying earlier, it very literally is the shiny new thing because every single surface in that game, whether it's your armor, your weapons, the floor, a bush, like everything is super reflective and glowing, and the particle effects are like crazy noisy. It's like ray tracing the video game.
I will say it's beautiful. Like when you're walking on these stone slabs and they like seeing the reflection on it and everything like that, and in the shine, it has weight, and it has, I feel like if this was like, I don't want to say the boogaboo word, Ghost games as a service, but like if they said, here's our plan, here's what we want to do, here's how we're going to make the Valor plates different, we've heard you, whatever, I would be much more interested. Also, if they did something with a persistent living area, at least, where like maybe a hub world where you could all kind of hang out, craft together, get your mission, say, okay, I want to go to this place and do this. Okay, let's go do that or whatever. But it's just, at this point, it's kind of boring. Everything there is kind of boring. I'm almost finished with Miles Morales. I have, I would say, about 2 hours left to go in that. I've just been doing a lot of side stuff. I basically, the way I play Spider-Man, this game is fantastic. And I think it's better than the 2018 Spider-Man. They took everything that was great about that game and just fixed it. I know a lot of people are having some glitchy issues with Miles Morales. I haven't had any issues whatsoever, but I'm not playing 10-hour marathon sessions, so I don't know if that might have something to do with it. I play 2-3 hours at a time and then put the game down. But I also booted up the old Xbox Series X, and boy, I showcased the hell out of the Series X today. I played The Sims 4. I played Tetris Effect.
Of all games to play.
Yes, I played Tetris Effect. What else did I play? And I played Power Rangers Battle for the Grid.
Holy shit. Why would you do that to yourself?
You can literally play Gears of War 5 for free.
Here's the thing. Okay. Wait. Here's the thing. I'm playing Gears, the remake of the first one, the Ultimate Edition, mm-hmm. whatever it's called. I'm playing that, but I haven't played it on the Series X yet. I've played it on the X Cloud. So I've never played a Gears game, so I'm not just going to play Gears 5, you know?
Oh, really?
That's the biggest issue I have with having a Series X right now, is that I didn't play Halo 4, 5, whatever one we're up to now. I only played the first three. I didn't play Reach. I didn't play ODST. I didn't play any of those games. So I don't want to just jump into Halo 5 or whatever, and just, you know, pick it up from there.
Free advice.
Yeah.
Just totally skip Halo 4. The entire game. Just throw it in the garbage. Not even worth your time.
I mean,
Halo 5, pretty good.
That's the biggest issue I'm having with the Series X, is like, I want to play something. I want, like, every, you know, Buzz, our friend of the show, he says, you know, play the Forza Horizon. Like, I don't like to drive. I just don't like driving games. I'm not a driving game guy. If it has giant cannons on the car, yeah, I'm totally cool. You know,
just
all
go
about
in a
that.
Circle, Steve. Isn't that fun?
No. This one's the open world racing one. This is the one where the whole place is open to you. But even that, like Project Gotham, like all that stuff, I just don't care. I know it'll look pretty, which I guess I could take a look at, but it's just not for me. So I'm kind of just waiting for the thing to play right now. I wanted to boot up the Outer Worlds, but there's no cross save, and I have like 12 hours in on PC, so. Okay. I can't save, you know, put that save over, you know, so I'm sitting there just trying to figure out what I want to play right now.
Okay. I'll get you a list of Game Pass games you should check out.
I mean, I have Game Pass and I added a bunch of stuff. What did I add? I added, Spiritfarer, cause I didn't play that one when it came out. Sure. I want to give that one a go. I might buy COD for it.
Okay.
I might do that. Because that was like where I played COD growing up. You know, it was on my Xbox.
You
want
to know what I think
would
be a really good showcase of that system for you, and a game that I think you would enjoy a lot, are the Ori games. I think you would really enjoy those, and I think the visuals in those games alone would be breathtaking on the Series X. So definitely check those out.
Well, we'll see. Speaking of you know, games that we all enjoy, Andy... Our indie news update. We got some fun stuff to talk about here.
Oh my god! One of my favorite games that came out recently, Panzer Paladin, got a free update today. That's right. We get a new challenge mode with 11 rooms, speed run, a brand new classic 8-bit soundtrack, and it sounds so sexy, and more blacksmith weapon storage. And you guys, so I made that dick spear. When the
yes,
game first
I remember
came
the
out,
Dexpier, yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a comment on it on Steam.
Nice.
I got a notification like months ago. I was like, oh my god, someone actually found this in the game and left me feedback. So anyway.
What was the feedback? You can't.
Oh, it was like, okay, hold on. Because it was like a reference to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. About, it was like the dick flyer. And I thought it was a bicep. So it's called Just a Bicep, the weapon. And then someone wrote, needs more veins in the comments section.
Nice.
So that made my day. So that's out now. And also the game itself is 20% off.
Nice.
Limited time. So if you're going to buy the game, buy it now, get the free update, and check our interview with the team. I think it was episode 38 of the Dual Screens podcast.
That sounds about right.
Sure.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Andy, do you know what isn't free?
What's not free, Taylor?
This new Fortnite monthly subscription.
Oh, God.
And that's what we call a transition, people.
That's a segue.
So, I don't know if you guys saw this. Epic just announced this. I can't remember today, the other day, something like that. Yeah. It's a new $11.99 a month subscription service starting December 2nd for Fortnite. I know the majority of our audience probably doesn't care about Fortnite and doesn't care about this news, but I put this on here because I feel like this is important because it sets a precedent for games that we all enjoy and how they may handle monetization going forward. So it's $12 a month. You get the battle pass for the current season whenever you subscribe included with that. You get 1,000 V-Bucks, which is like $10 of in-game currency. And you get a monthly crew pack, which is an exclusive outfit bundle. It'll come with a skin, a pickaxe, a glider. There's a bunch of different things that can come with it. An emote, things like that. So there's definitely value here. You know, you get the battle pass where you can earn, you know, like a 1,000 V-Bucks in it. Plus you get 1,000 V-Bucks. I think this is going to become more and more common in this new generation of gaming for games as a service, seeing monthly subscription type things like this going forward. So I think this sets an interesting precedent for sure.
I feel like the people who are going to buy this are the people who are spending $10 in V-Bucks anyway.
100%.
Like I feel like this is kind of a dumb move for them. Like I get the appeal of it. And you're offering something on, you know, in lieu of your battle pass, but monthly instead of like maybe whatever it is, the battle. I think the battle passes are 3 like months.
Quarterly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I get that, but I feel like the people who buy a battle pass are still spending money. I guess they have the data, right? They would know.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's money, like, hey, you know, these people spend $20 and the battle pass. These most people only spend $5 and the battle pass. Maybe we could get them to spend $7 more or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it's anything to really worry about because I feel like Fortnite is a very, very particular beast where the child to parent relationship is almost. I want to say it's really clear, like my nephews who play Fortnite and like all that stuff, like parents now that are in their 40s and 50s, they know what Fortnite is. They know how to they know how to give their kids money for Fortnite. They know what their kids are getting. So I think this is actually an easier sell than me when I was growing up, when I was like, hey mom, I want to play Final Fantasy with my friends. I need $15 a month. And she said, go take a walk, and so I had to take my dad's credit card and put it in. I don't know.
I get what you're saying, Steve, but at the same time, like Fortnite was the one that like kind of quote unquote invented the battle pass and popularized it. I know they weren't the first ones, but they were definitely the first mainstream one, and now it's in every single like ongoing multiplayer game out there, from Destiny to Apex and everything in between. Like, I just think this is another thing that people are going to look at, especially if when we come to annual financials, we see a huge spike in Q4 revenue for Fortnite because of this. I could see so many companies seeing that and being like, what the hell?
Well, they're doing it. Monthly subscription. Yeah, but they're not doing it in lieu of having the free version, and they're not gimping the free version.
It won't really affect
people who don't want to spend the money, you know?
Yeah, there are just a number of people that hate battle passes to begin with. Like, I know I play a ton of Destiny 2, and so I know there are a lot of people that hate that Destiny 2 has like a seasonal battle pass now.
Well, look what that game is though. Look what Destiny 2 is. Destiny 2, if I didn't have Game Pass on Xbox, like when we started playing it, and I was playing it on PC. It's got the free to play, and it had like, I want to say the first year expansions of D2, it had those. But if I wanted all of the content that are currently in that game, I had to get two expansions, which were $40 each. And then Beyond Light came out. So if I spent $80 to play with you before Beyond Light came out, yes, I had the base game for free, which I already bought for PlayStation 4, by the way, when it came out. But I'm not even mentioning that. For $60. Yeah. Plus, I bought one of the $40 DLCs. So I put $100 in Destiny 2 on PlayStation 4. And now they're putting a Battle Pass on top of that. I think that's where it's kind of nonsense. It's like you're monetizing a game that you're charging for, and you're not, and it's not cheap. The DLC is not cheap. It's $40. It's not cheap. And you know, they always claim that they're reinventing, and then all the people that are, for lack of a better term, just the biggest fanboys of the game anyway, are going to tell you, oh no, it's great now. Oh yeah, they fixed all the, like, I just don't like that messaging that they have to go on.
Sure. I get where you're coming from. I'm just saying, like, a number of these, like, games as a service things are already copying Fortnite and have been copying Fortnite because they, like, have made a gajillion dollars. And so everyone's seeing that. And so if you add another gajillion dollars on top of that, I think we're going to see this across a number of additional games.
It completely tanked for Avengers, right, Andy?
Dude, they lost like almost all their player base. But you know, they could launch a subscription service to fucking resurrect that shit. But I do want to say this is it's a smart move, like, to announce around the holiday season, because I can imagine every single parent saying, "Here, kid, I bought you a subscription for fucking Fortnite. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your V-Bucks."
Totally.
And you know, have a good time. And I'm wondering if the audience for this, do they have like this and a Game Pass and like a PlayStation Plus service and Nintendo Online? I think this audience just plays specifically Fortnite. So this can help get those, and like locking in those guaranteed dollars every single month is a smart move for them. Because, you know, you have folks say, okay, I'll spend $10 this month, then I won't spend for like 2 months straight, then I'll spend $20 the month after. It's just like you're locking in those profits month after month. But, like, you know, I'm trying to imagine, like, what other games could follow this same format. Like, could you imagine, like, if Halo Infinite was, like, a huge game of service and it was like, well, we have it on Game Pass, but if you pay for this Halo subscription service, you get more shit every single month as on top of that. Or, like, if Anthem was successful, or if Godfall was not garbage, those could tap the same shit, too. It's a little scary. It's when you really, really think about it.
That you bring that up, Andy, because this next story that I put in actually ties into that directly with Red Dead Online.
Yep.
Red Dead Online is going standalone, Rockstar just announced, and it's not going free-to-play. Initially, at launch for the first couple of months, they said it'll be $5, until February 15th, 2021, it'll be $20 going forward. So I think this could tie into something like Red Dead Online, GTA Online. Like, it would not surprise me if in 6 months we're talking about how GTA Online has a monthly subscription service that you can sign up for, that you get a million GTA bucks a month and, you know, this, you know, a cool new car or whatever. Like, I think games like that are wildly popular could definitely see this and take advantage of it. And Red Dead Online is definitely one of those. I do find it bizarre that this isn't going free to play, though. That, I think that was the biggest news out of this announcement.
They know what they're doing. They have metrics we will never even comprehend.
Oh, totally.
Like, they know exactly how many people are on. They know how much money you spend per minute you play that game. They got all that shit. Rockstar knows what they're doing. Just,
yeah. I'm not even saying it's a bad decision.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, yeah. There's got to be something there. Speaking of DLC, Andy.
Well, let's say, you know what's worth spending your money on. That is his latest Mortal Kombat 11 movie skin pack.
Woo!
This, I shit myself when I saw this, you guys. So, I think when we had What's-His-Face playing Shang Tsung, Kari Tagawa in MK11, we all were wondering, that's great, but what about the entire cast from the films?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Christopher Lambert? Where's Robin Chu? Where's, like, Talisa Soto? And today, we got something that I never expected. So we're getting an MK11 movie pack DLC starring Christopher Lambert, fucking Lyndon Ashby as Johnny Cage, and Bridget Wilson as Sonya Blade, who I think, once I get this skin pack, is going to replace Ronda Rousey permanently, because I can't stand her face in that game. Or her voice, for that matter.
I think this skin, it does not look like that actress at all, but that's okay. Doesn't matter.
Let's think
about Christopher Lambert.
Awesome. They've brought these actors back, and they recorded voiceover for this game.
Yeah.
Is that just a likeness? And it's like, yes, this is amazing. And I'm here for it 100%. It's just so cool.
That's cool. Yeah. It is pretty cool. Not going to lie. I'd like more of that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, fan service. Like, this is like, I'll pay for this gladly over, like, you know, fucking V-Buck subscription service every month.
Where's my Raul Julia M. Bison skin?
Oh, man.
I think Spider-Man, 2018 Spider-Man, did that perfectly. Where after launch, they added all of those additional suits and stuff. They added the Sam Raimi skin suit.
I
love stuff like that. Super cool.
Well, Microsoft is hinting at something pretty big here. It looks like they might be exploring an Xbox app on TVs, which we kind of thought was going to be a thing anyway. And this kind of speaks to their Xbox One messaging of being in every living room. So this one is coming from The Verge. Microsoft is in its early phases of rolling out its xCloud streaming service on mobile devices, but TVs are the next logical step. In an interview with The Verge, Phil Spencer has revealed we'll likely see an Xbox app appear on smart TVs over the next year. He says, quote, I think you're going to see that in the next 12 months. I don't think anything is going to stop us from doing that. This is a very logical step.
Yeah, this is primarily going to be for like xCloud, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Seems that way.
This will be an xCloud thing. This will be a, you know, maybe they'll sell a dongle, USB dongle receiver for your TV so you could have your controller hook up right to it. Stadia has the patent for the Wi-Fi controller, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Stadia.
Yeah.
Here's what Microsoft's doing. Microsoft was like, hey guys, what are we going to do to compete with Sony? And then they were like, I have an idea. Let's not compete with Sony. Let's just make our own thing. And then Google was like, we want to do our own thing too. And then Microsoft's like, oh, young Google, you have much to learn. We're going to shit on your bed and eat your breakfast. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do everything you want to do, every single thing you want to do, and we're going to do it so much better. We're going to do it so much quicker, and people are actually going to use it, and they're going to love it. And that is exactly what Microsoft is doing. They're going to be everywhere, and it's great. It's great for – imagine hotels not needing to have a shitty Nintendo 64 locked up in a plastic case, you know? You could have just the Xbox app, plug in your controller, boom. You got your Xbox Series X or whatever. That's going to be dope. Or Series S, I think they're using for streaming soon.
I think the best thing that happened to Xbox with all with their streaming service is how laughably bad Stadia turned out to be. 100%. Like that
I do not agree. I do not agree that it is a good thing that Stadia was that bad, because Stadia was the poster child for streaming video games. Like, they came out and said, this is the future. And because they failed so loudly and laughably, it makes the whole streaming games look bad as a whole. Like, you still have to convince the casuals that xCloud is good.
Right, but it made it look so much better, though, xCloud, by comparison. Yeah.
If you cared to do that research, yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
the value.
Because, like, They were kind of, you know, xCloud had their like beta thing as Stadia was launching last year. And they were kind of like going head to head at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot easier to see that. And I think Microsoft is going to end out ahead eventually because of that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm most curious about is to see when Microsoft puts out a Chromecast type thing, you know, some kind of plug-in for your TV that already has the Xbox app installed and you can stream whatever, you know, TV streaming stuff from it, just like a Chromecast can. Because I guarantee Microsoft as a whole wants to get in on that revenue stream as well, if they're going to be, you know, taking the money from, you know, the streaming side of things. Why not have the hardware to facilitate that as well? You know, a $80, $100 something that you plug into your TV that's, you know, like Xbox All Streaming or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then when you take that and you factor in once they integrate Facebook Gaming into the xCloud, that's be a whole other thing to consider as well. So I think they're making so many smart plays with that service lately.
Yep.
And it's gonna be big.
xCloud cast. There you go. Just put it up there.
Great, up. Great name.
Okay. Sign it up.
Some other Xbox news. I'm going to read to you exactly what I wrote in the document. Xbox announces December games with gold, asterisk, wet fart sound. Yeah. I was talking to our friend Buzz Killington about this today in Discord, but Xbox is not even pretending to care about games with gold at this point. They are putting so much of their effort into Game Pass, which
I don't know why.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, as a consumer, I love that. I wish that they would just get rid of games with gold altogether. Like, it just push everything to Game Pass and make that your priority. And maybe, like, you incorporate games with gold a little bit for, like, Game Pass games. You have, like, a couple games on Game Pass each month that you can try for free without Game Pass. You know, you get, like, a free trial, and they give you, like, two or three games to try.
It just feels like such an afterthought when you read some of these games they got going on this month.
Yeah, so I've got the list right here.
So, go ahead.
Starting December 1st through December 15th, you can get The Raven Remastered and Saints Row Gat Out of Hell, the Xbox 360 version. And then from the 15th to December 31st, you can get Bleed 2, which honestly I've never even heard of, and Stacking for Xbox 360. It does note that Bleed 2 will remain free through January 2021, but you only have until the 31st to claim Stacking. And from what I hear, Stacking's pretty cool.
What are these weird conditions? Has there always been this way with Games with Gold? I don't really follow the service at all.
So Games with Gold, they usually do an Xbox One game and an Xbox 360 game for each 15-day period. So the first of the month through the 15th, and then the 16th through the end of the month, you'll have two games, one Xbox One and one 360 or original.
That's so Xbox weird. Game. Just do it like, here's for the month. You know, you have a month to get them. It's weird.
Yep.
It's like Epic. Epic's free games. They do the same thing.
Yeah,
sure.
They do it like every 2 weeks or whatever. But I agree. But yeah, this is more so, I just wanted to bring this up because it's like very apparent at this point that they just don't care about games with gold. And I would love for them to just refocus that effort, triple down on Game Pass like they already have been, but stop like even pretending to care about games with gold at this point.
They can easily do what you said, but instead of giving it like three games or whatever from Game Pass, you could just say, hey, if you have gold, then you get 20 hours of Game Pass. Any games you want, 20 hours. And you know, and then at the end of your 20 hours, you'd say, hey, isn't Game Pass great? Give us $12. And it could be yours, all of the games that you saw forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'd be cool. All right, Andy.
Pat just says no.
Well, here's a game that may be worth your time and attention. We have a sequel announcement to The World Ends With You, one of my favorite DS games. Got a surprise sequel announcement the other day called Neo, The World Ends With You. And I'm not sure what annoys me more. People saying that it looks like Persona 5, or people saying that games taking place in Japan were a thing before Persona 5. They're both equally annoying. Both groups frustrate me to no end.
Yeah.
I was like, the game looks great. It's in Japan. It's got an amazing soundtrack. The comet looks sick. Just enjoy it. But these Twitter fights are just killing me right now because it's Actually, Shibuya is a real place in Japan, guys. It wasn't invented for Persona 5. Shut up. Be quiet and enjoy the fucking game. But yeah, this came out of nowhere. Square's killing it. At least their Japan division is. I think they need to ditch the Western studios altogether. That's like the anchor holding down their success, I feel. I say sell off Tomb Raider, Crystal Dynamics, like the Avengers people, you know, Deus Ex, get rid of them, sell them off, and just focus on making awesome JRPGs going forward. Like this. That's all I'm gonna say.
Two things. How dare you slander the Western Square Enix studios? They're fantastic. They put out great work. Deus Ex Studio is incredible.
Yes, I understand, but Marvel's Avengers. That's what I just said.
Sure. Touche. Thing number two, it took me 15 minutes to figure out what Twewu was when I saw you putting this in the doc.
Twewu.
I have never heard Twewu. Of Twewu before.
You know,
I mean, the guy looks like Sora a little bit, the main character, but he's not Sora.
You know what you don't
Does he
need?
Have big shoes?
Any deciphering to mean. Know what it is, and that's MGS. Because Sony is rumored to acquire Blue Point Games again in the near future after the success of Demon's Souls remake. Blue Point is allegedly working on another remake, supposedly Metal Gear Solid, which will be announced at the Game Awards. Now, I don't know who this person is. I don't know what gives them any authority, but this came from a Twitter person, Okami13 underscore.
That sounds very accurate. Highly official.
So, and they replied to their own tweet saying that Silent Hill is another remake that's been floating around for months now, and we may finally see that at the Game Awards. And that is where I say you lost all credibility, sir. All credibility goes out the window when you start talking about Silent Hill remake.
Well, the rumor was never a Silent Hill. It was a reboot they've been talking about, not a remake.
Uh-huh, whatever.
So, and again, this just it just feels like people have been mouthing off about a Metal Gear Solid remake for a while now as well, since the PS5 came on the scene. And then you had that weird, like, I could hear Metal Gear Rex and Demon Souls, but you know, it's a fucking dragon. I don't know what you're talking about, idiots. So it's a lot of wishful thinking. Again, they're a great team to handle that game, for sure. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like too good to be true.
Very interesting, but stupid.
On the Blue Point side of things, I feel like Sony fans are just going to say that Sony is in talks with Blue Point to acquire them until it eventually happens, and Jim Ryan just gets sick of people saying it and just hands them money.
Right.
To actually you're
it makes sense. To will it into existence.
It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Get them on board.
It makes a ton of sense, but like we've talked about Sony acquiring Blue Point for their last three remakes now. Mm-hmm. If it was going to happen, I think it would have happened.
Well, see, that's Sony likes to have that partnership first, like Insomniac. It was years of like just that second party support. I
mean, yeah. And Insomniac and was building. Literally decades, though. You know?
Right, exactly. So I would say Blue Point and Housemarque are also on the short list of like acquisitions for like maybe in the next few years.
Give Blue Point another 7 years and then Sony will acquire
Wait,
them.
Am I drunk? What didn't Housemarque? Didn't they buy Housemarque?
No.
Are you sure?
Housemarque is like a Blue Point. It's just Sony supports them so much that it seems like they're connected.
I think what you're thinking of, Steve, is there was a story, I can't remember if it was like early this year, that Housemarque put out a blog post on their website saying, hey, we are trashing this Battle Royale game that we're making because we just got acquired by someone, you know, or had a major partnership with someone. They didn't say who. It's going to allow us to like make the game of our dreams or whatever.
Oh, and that's that.
They didn't announce who.
The hell
is
it called? Reventure? No, not Reventure.
Yeah.
The hell's the name of their new game?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Returnal.
Returnal. That's what it is. Yeah. That game looks cool. I watched all of they started a Housemarque podcast. I think it's called Housemarque Cast or something like that. It's on PS5. So if you go to their game, you can look at their podcast and stuff. It's like a little video podcast. That game is going to be cool. I'm really excited for that game.
Yeah.
That game looks like Control, but it works. Yeah. So we'll see.
Control, but you have good frame rate the entire time.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, the reason why this story is in here is not just because I wanted to talk about rumors, but I wanted to talk about, like, would a Metal Gear Solid remake, like, matter? Like, I feel like it would matter in the whole mainstream situation, but, like, I don't know if I care enough. I don't know if that's... I have my memories of that game. I don't need a remake of that. You know what I mean? Like, I never played any of the remakes of that game. I never played
I think you can say that about pretty much every game that Bluepoint has remastered, though. Like, you know, the Shadow of the Colossus was, like, held in a very high regard. Demon's Souls was, like, you know, had this cult fandom around it, and, like, people loved that game. And if it's handled the right way, then I think it will matter. Like, imagine this Demon's Souls treatment on one of your favorite games from your childhood, you know? Like,
yeah, Demon's Souls is different, though.
People going crazy about that.
Demon's Souls is different, though, because it died on the PlayStation 3. And you can't, like, there's no backwards compatibility on you know, the forward systems, and it kind of just lived there, and that's where it gathered dust, and it had its fans, and people were keeping their PS3s around just for that game, and this sort of brings it into the new world. The Shadow of the Colossus thing, I didn't really understand that. I played the original, and I loved it a lot, but I never played the remake. I hear that it's, like, this wonderful thing, but, like, I don't know. I would rather them take a game that actually really needs it and will benefit from it, whereas Metal Gear has been ported. The Metal Gear Solid trilogy, or the four games, have been ported to so many different spots, PC, you know, wherever. They've been all over the place. And they've been playable in so many different formats that as much as I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, like, I don't know. It doesn't really excite me that much. Like, give me my Dark Cloud. Like Andy said, Legend of Dragoon. Let's do it. You know, give us something that needs it, you know?
Well, there is a little precedent here, because they did work on the remakes for Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when they first came on the scene. Now, I have concerns about if they were to do an MGS remake. I mean, let's be honest. Any game they remake is like gold. They just do it so flawlessly, I feel. But we're talking about games like Shadow of the Colossus and Demon's Souls. These aren't like highly cinematic, dialogue-heavy games. And now you're bringing in a Metal Gear Solid game where it's like bringing that old cast, which is like decades later. They're going to sound so old, so gruff. It might be strange hearing, like, David Hayter doing Solid Snake, you know, 30 years since Metal Gear Solid came out or some shit. But yeah, I think this game already got its chance in Twin Snakes for a remake. I think remake Metal Gear for Nintendo, that would be an awesome remake.
I was just going to say that, Andy. Imagine they do Metal Gear. Yes. Like 3D, third person.
And yeah, Snake's Revenge.
Like top down anymore.
Like, I would take that any day over Metal Gear Solid remake.
Yeah.
Indeed.
100%.
Indeed. That is going to do it for the Dual Screens Report. Andy, why don't you take us in the hype zone?
No, you go first.
So I added this first one on hype zone.
Okay.
So I will go over it. Black Friday deals are getting announced left, right, and center. GameSpot has a really good write-up, kind of a summary, some highlights here, as well as a little bit of a concern here. Games like Watch Dogs Legion is going to be 50% off. The Last of Us Part 2, 50% off. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is going to be $25, down from $40. Madden is going to be $27, down from $60. Ghost of Tsushima is going to be $20 off. There's a bunch of good ones on here, including a number of games that are nominated for Game of the Year this year. Like Final Fantasy VII Remake is only $25 at Target, things like that. So a lot of really good deals here. Seeing a game like Watch Dogs Legion, which came out like
last
maybe
week.
A month ago, less than a month ago, being half price already kind of is shitty. But aside from that, some really good games on here. Definitely go check out the write-up from GameSpot. I love Black Friday, so I am very excited.
I feel like this is something Ubisoft does a lot with their properties. Sure. I feel like they put a lot of those on Black Friday sales. Andy, what's the real hype zone?
Guys, this is the real one right now. So we mentioned briefly about a potential Silent Hill reboot earlier in the show. I've talked about it for months. Every little rumor, every sighting, I was always about it. But I can say that I know officially that it's definitely happening. So now this is a very not safe for work conversation, but we're all a family here, and there are no secrets.
Oh, well.
So here we go. I am putting a link in the chat right now.
Oh no!
I was watching some adult films the other day, as one does in his free time, and you know, there's always like some plot stuff going on before the action takes place, and I let it run a little bit, and what do I see? But Silent Hill is playing in the background. And I had to stop what I was doing and say to myself, some person, some director made a decision to put Silent Hill in a fucking porno.
Now that is hype, Andy.
It's there. This got over like 10,000 impressions on Twitter when I threw it up there. And I need to know, what does Helix Studios know about a potential Silent Hill remake? Are they hinting at it coyly in their adult film?
Interesting. That's interesting because it was clearly a design choice. This was a choice. Somebody put that back there.
Yes. There was a stack of PS1 games. You could have chose any PS1 game. But fucking
and that's Hill. A PS1 too. That's the best part.
Right. It's not Halloween. There's no like gimmick. It's not. They didn't even talk about it.
Indeed.
But it's just there.
Indeed.
Very distracting.
We did it.
Very intriguing.
Let's get over to the mailbag right quickly. Let's see if anything. Ooh, something did come in. Oh my. All right. So Mist Enough has a quick question. How could either next gen system justify launching with less than 1 terabyte of storage space in 2020? I think the answer here is both are going to be leaning heavily on the swapping and the xCloud or like the cloud gaming situation. Just like, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't need 10 games on my hard drive. Like, I just don't. I usually play 2 or 3 at most. I understand that that's not how a lot of people play. That's how most people don't play. What I don't understand is why make discs anymore if they're completely pointless? If you put them in the system and they just download the thing anyway, why? That part just. I mean, I get it. So you could have the physical and not need the internet. You still need the internet because you got to download a stupid freaking file every time. But whatever. I digress.
I think to answer Mist Enough's question, honestly, it's because idiots like you two still buy them anyway. And both of these companies know that. And so it doesn't matter. Like, people are still, and I don't mean to attack you two. I love people.
If it's a personal attack.
Okay, I'm sorry. but like, people are still going to buy it. They don't care. Like, people are going to grumble about it and they'll bitch and moan on the internet. But they honestly, like, at the end of the day, do not care because they're still going to buy the system. Sony and Microsoft are still going to sell a bajillion of these, which is the third time I've said the word bajillion this podcast, which is too many.
I have a 893 gigabytes of my computer. And I have 218 free.
I have like 4 terabytes.
To get back to the question, it would have been more excusable if they each launched with their expandable SSD situations, figure it out. Like if those were like cool, I can buy like a 2 terabyte SSD, pop it in there, I'm good to go. But that's like you're playing the waiting game for that now. Now I will say this. I'm not sure how it is on Xbox Series X or S, but I'm finding at least with PS5, the lightning fast download speeds makes it so it's not a big of a deal yet. I can have things there that I want to play, and if I want to get some more games, it's like less than 5 minutes to get the game on the system from, you know, the PSN store or from my library. So not a big deal. But yeah, it kind of sucks because I like having all the stuff there. But I'm noticing lately, it's like, do you ever like want to order Seamless when you're hungry, but you don't know what you want to eat exactly? And you're just scrolling through endlessly for like that one thing that you might want to eat that you'll settle on?
Sure.
Here, I feel like I have maybe 5 games or 6 on my PS5 hard drive, and I'm very laser focused on them. And I'm just going through them like no one's business. I'm not being overly ADD with my game playing lately, because it's like, okay, it's these 5 games. I'll play these. I'm done with them. I can delete them and get some more on here if I want to. That's like an accidental bonus for me.
I have the same amount of storage on my PS4. So like I'm used to this. I'm used to deleting shit that I look at the games and I go, I'm never going to play this again. Delete. Like, I don't care. Like, Buzz has 800 games on his Xbox because he's a tool bag and he's, I'm going to play it. No, you're fucking not. You're not going to play them. You're not going to play 800 games. Nobody plays 800 games.
You're just hoarding.
You're just a hoarder. You're just
how big my collection is. I can smack your collection in the face with it.
The cool thing is the games are still there in the collection.
You're a stronger man than me. Honestly, like, I upgraded from my launch PS4 that had 500 gigs to 1 terabyte and immediately filled that terabyte up. Like, I will fill up whatever's there just in case I get the inkling of wanting to play it. I have Monster Hunter World downloaded on my PlayStation right now. Do you want to know the last time I played Monster Hunter World? The game came out in January of 2018. I played it last in June of 2018. Still downloaded there. On my PS4.
It's there if you want to play. It's there if you want to play, Taylor. It's right there waiting for you.
No,
you
but it's not. Option. That's the fucking option. Thing. That's the ruse. It's not there if you want to play it. Because the minute you click it, it's going to say you have a 90 gigabyte update. It's not there. Nothing is there. Nothing that old is actually there. It's so outdated, so old, it needs a massive patch anyway. So just fucking delete it. You don't need it. Save that space for Warzone's 950 gigabyte patch.
You sound angry. Do you want to talk about
it's
it?
It's stupid. Rage. You don't... Rage. Buzz, Taylor doesn't have auto updates because his PlayStation's in a fucking closet. So the minute he says he wants to play that and he plugs it in and turns it on the internet, it's going to be like, oh, does not compute, everything, firmware, 2018, and it's going to poop itself.
It should be like, you know, listen, like the Marie Kondo approach. Does it bring you joy, this game, on your hard drive? And if not, you just delete it and move on with your life.
But that's the thing, Andy. That's the thing, Andy.
A great game. It brings
anything that's in your collection on PlayStation still goes there. You go to the library and it's there. Right. You have a tab for installed.
That's why and I'm saying it's owned.
If I get an itch to play it, I don't want to wait 3 hours to
you
download
still
it.
Have to!
Then the itch will be gone. Wait,
hold on a minute. Let's say you had the itch to play and it's like, man, it's out of my hard drive. Did you really want to play it?
I mean,
did you?
Sometimes, yeah.
Did you? I'd be like, if you really want to play a game.
Is that what this is? Is this
no, I'm saying, if you really want to play, you'll download the thing and play it. If it takes like, you know, an hour. It's not big,
but if
you,
you
know,
if you
deal.
Decide not to play it because it's not downloaded, then you didn't really want to play it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Did you really want to play it?
I have Country Bumpkin internet, which means a 1 hour download for you guys is like a 6 hour download for me. So
well, sure.
Big difference.
Sure.
Big
but difference. That seems like a you problem, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Seems like a you problem. Now, hold on. So Nuff says he's coming from a 2 terabyte on his PlayStation 4. That's great, dude. That's wonderful. You're not playing 2 terabytes worth of games. You're just not. It's not a thing you're doing. You play Modern Warfare. You play Modern Warfare all fucking day.
Yeah, that's all he does. And then you play. I see you enough.
And you play. what's the other game? The space game. I'm blanking right now. Fuck.
No Man's Sky.
He plays
No Man's Sky and Call of Duty. And sometimes, if we get him when the moon and the stars align perfectly, he'll play Apex Legends. Maybe.
Look, he says, sometimes I want to play Earth Defense Force for like an hour without having to wait.
I can sympathize with that. I understand.
Yeah, you can download it while you're playing Call of Duty, which is what you do most of the time anyway.
Listen, I understand the excite to have. So, I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same reason why I collect physical games, or like I buy physical games because I like having the thing on there. But every time I take that disc out and put it in the PlayStation, it's got to download something anyway. So it's really a pointless thing to have on my shelf, but I digress. I'm not reading anything, Buzz. You suck at writing things. If he had the collection, he would never go back to it.
What is my last thing? No, fuck you.
What does that mean? What does that even mean? I've never watched a Blu-ray that I've ever purchased, ever. I promise you, I've never opened and put a Blu-ray disc that I have purchased in any of my Blu-ray players, ever. I use that little digital code that comes with it, that goes on the phone, and the movie just sits on the shelf.
Do you ever like want to play a game, but it's like it's a disc, so it's like I gotta get up and swap a disc. I don't want to play this game anymore.
Why don't I sell my comics? That doesn't make sense. Okay, here's the argument, Mr. Nuff. Because of the world we live in right now, if I clicked any of these games, even if I have auto updates on, if the system's not connected to the internet or whatever, even with auto updates on, sometimes these games don't actually auto update. But if I clicked the equivalent of this comic book in my PlayStation on my hard drive, it'll say, "Hey, that's a great book. Let me see if there's any new advertisements to shove in here." All right, yeah, we got 10 pages of advertisements you want to shove in your comic book. So just give us a minute. We'll get this comic book ready for you. Okay. All right, now you can read your comic book. Like that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Okay? You're talking about like having a subscription to Marvel Unlimited comic thing and like downloading every comic because you don't want to have to download it again if you want to read it later. That's stupid. It's a service. You download them later. And with that being said, that's going to bring us to the end of the show.
That's it.
That's it. That brings us to the end of the
show. Miss Enough, just know that I sympathize with you. Don't worry about it.
You sympathize with nothing.
Don't worry about it.
You're a storage sympathizer. I see. All right.
Yep.
Okay. I see what we're doing here. I see what we're doing. Anyway, that's going to bring us to the end of the show.
Did you do the question of the week?
I put one in for this week. I didn't put one in last week. It was a disaster. Oh, okay. Everything that I tried to edit this week has been a disaster. So I've just been not a happy camper. So I didn't put one last week. But we have one for this week. And the question, if you want to go answer it now, is what do you want the next Blue Point remake to be? So go over to our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. And check that out. Join that. Answer the question. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at @duel_screens. I am at batchild27. Andy is at pantsguy. Taylor is at itsperger. And also, if you want to follow Taylor on Twitch, you can do so at twitch.tv/itsperger. And if you want to follow me on Twitch, I'm twitch.tv/batchild. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Well, we have a nice interview coming up. Like in 2 days. That was a lot of fun. Artist for Battletoads. That was a fun episode.
The artist for Battletoads and is currently working with that same studio on an undisclosed project, which is pretty cool.
That's a lesson for people like me that are too harsh on some things sometimes to get that perspective, but also shit on it at the same time. Right. It was a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah, check that one out. And I do want to tell you guys right away that I had a lot of audio issues for some reason that we could not detect and I could not replicate. So
it was very weird.
It was very strange. I literally re-recorded my intro and my first chunk of house, like my housekeeping that I do in the beginning of the show. I re-recorded that because it was so bad. During the show, I actually noticed that I was spiking when I wasn't talking. So there was some sort of audio connection issue with the USB cable. So I actually, during the show, lowered myself to about 50% so it would stop spiking when I wasn't talking. And that seemed to make it listenable. But I do apologize in advance that that audio was so shitty. And I put a little message at the beginning of the show. So we appreciate you checking that out. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to our contributors. We have a new song for this show that is by Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio. So thank you for that. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our logo and our overlay. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all the cartoon art. And again, join our Patreon for as little as $1, patreon.com/NDS podcast. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent to each other.